We postponed DSC last week because none of the leadership was available at the level where we expected. We have ISASA after DSC. Then it will be a briefing on a bill by Department of Health. After that, we have to receive all those presentations. I have been briefed on members that the minister, saying it formally now, is on her way. They hope that she has landed. She will be joining us. As usual, there are issues that I would have liked to raise since this is our last APP with you before the end of the fifth administration or parliament. The issue that I would have liked to raise them today, but unfortunately, not unfortunately, I would have to wait for the minister because I think they do need the minister's attention. I'm not going to waste time on the members. I will want us to go straight to the presentation. There are a number of issues that we have with the department. They know them. We raise them with them, especially with SASA. We did not also have an opportunity to be briefed. How far are we? How far are you? Not we. How far are you in terms of the SASA, the payment of social grants, the court ruling, and how far are you now? Part of the briefing of SAS, I'm just saying now because so that you can just come straight after DSD, is that we'll want to know how are you faring. We requested that we get a quarterly report, acting. Which did not happen. I don't remember me receiving it. We said we're not going to call you time and again to come and brief us because sometimes it takes time for you to implement. But the least you could do for us as a committee is to submit a quarterly report, which has not happened since last year we met you. I don't know what is the meaning of that. It worries us because even with the SASA matters, we had hoped that you would implement what you have promised to the committee, that this is the program we're going to implement, and by this time we'll have finished it, but it did not happen. So it's a worrying factor for us that you're not reporting on the progress, and we're not sure where you are as the agency. Having said that, all members, can I then allow the acting DG to introduce? I don't know whether she will be presenting or she will be delegating. We know each other by now, after 4 years. Unless there's a new person, we...
Yeah,
all right, members, can I allow the acting DGs to start the presentation? We know each other by now. If there's somebody whom we don't know, that person will introduce him or herself when she or he speaks. But for now, can I allow the acting DG to do the presentation?
Good morning, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members. We will be doing DSD APP, where we'll be talking to the strategic overview of the department and also the budget allocations. Mr. Kenny Maluleke, who is the head of strategy, will be leading us on the APP. Then the CFO will talk to the budget allocation. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson.
Thank you,
over to
you. Thank you, Acting DG, Ms. Numalo. Good morning, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members and colleagues.
I'm sorry, can I just interrupt you? We don't have all the time in the world. I'm giving each 45 minutes for presentation. 45 minutes.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I'll start with the presentation structure, which is as follows. One is purpose, followed by DSD strategic overview, the annual performance plan for 2018-2019 for the Department of Social Development. The presentation structure will also cover budget allocation and recommendation. In terms of purpose, we are here to brief the Select Committee on Social Services on the APP of the Department of Social Development. We are starting with the DSD strategic overview. The strategic overview starts with a vision of the department, which is a caring and self-reliant society, and this vision also contributes to the National Development Plan Vision 2030 that we are contributing within the National Development Plan. We contribute to Chapter 11 and we also contribute to Outcome 13 as a department, which is inclusive and responsive social security system. The vision of the department will be achieved through the strategic outcomes that are reflected in the strategic priorities of the department. One is reforming the social welfare sector and services to deliver better results. The second one is to improve the provision of early childhood development. The third one is strengthening community development interventions. The fourth one is deepening social assistance to expand access to social security. And the last one is strengthening coordination, integration, planning, monitoring, and evaluation of services. So these strategic priorities will be achieved through 15 strategic objectives as articulated in the department strategic plan. And these strategic objectives are aligned to our programs, starting with welfare services policy development and implementation support. So, honorable members, I must say that this program 4 is aligned to the first two strategic priorities that I have mentioned earlier. We also have program 5 policy and integrated social service delivery, which is aligned to strengthening community development interventions. And we also have program 2 and 3. 2 is social assistance, 3 is social security and policy development. These two programs are aligned to the strategic priority, which is deepening social assistance to expand access to social security. The last program, which is administration, is linked to strengthening coordination, integration, planning, monitoring, and evaluation of services. Honorable members, as we develop the annual performance plan of the department, we interface with our provinces to ensure that our plans are aligned, and one, we do conduct sector planning to ensure that our strategic priorities are aligned, and it also includes MINMEC and also the social development services, so just to ensure that as a national department we are integrated with provinces. And we are also committed to uphold good governance, and this also includes the clean audits that we have been achieving in the past 4 years, and also to exercise oversight over our entities, which is SASA and the NDA, in terms of Section 63.2 of the PFMA. And as we implement the APP, we must ensure that there is effective MME systems, of which we do have, to ensure that our annual performance plan is fully implemented. So lastly, the DSD strategic overview want to achieve synergies, efficiencies, and effectiveness. So I'll run quickly to the APP to save time. For this APP, which is 2018-2019, we have a total of 62 targets. And compared to last year we had 93 total targets. So we have begun to prioritize the work that we need to do, and also aligning the resources, and also taking into account that the current MTSF is coming to an end. So we need to ensure that the MTSF targets are also achieved as we begin to start 2019-2024 MTSF. So program 1 contributes 10% within the APP, program 2 contributes 18%, program 3 contributes 8%, program 4, which is the largest, contributes 40% of the APP, and program 5 contributes 29%. Honorable members, because of time, I will present the annual targets and leave the quarterly targets. We thought we should still leave them there for your information. Program 1, which is administration, starts with the strategic objective, which is to provide strategic support and corporate services. In terms of targets, we want to implement key elements of the center human resource plan, and we also want to facilitate GSD participation in 8 international obligations, because we participate in different countries in terms of the work that we are doing. The next strategic objective is integrated planning and performance management. We want to establish NISIS, which is National Integrated Social Information System. So we want to ensure that there is a development of governance framework to enhance the existing data sources. As I indicated earlier, that the Minister of Social Development has a responsibility in terms of Section 63, Subsection 2 of the PFMA to exercise oversight over SASA and the NDA. So therefore, there is a target to ensure that there is an annual assessment of compliance of entities to the entity governance and oversight framework that we have developed as a department, and also to conduct an evaluation on Project Mkonzi. In the past 4 years, we've been implementing Mkonzi program. So in this current financial year, we need to evaluate that work that has been done. And the last strategic objective for Program 1 is good governance and effective financial management. We are still committed to achieve unqualified audit outcomes that we've been achieving as a department. So I will go to Program 2, which is social assistance. The strategic objective, therefore, is to extend the provision of social assistance to eligible individuals. Social grants for eligible individuals to be paid. One is old age grant. For the current financial year, is 3.5 million. Child support grant is 12.4 million. War veterans grant is 107. Disability grant is 1,049,811. Care dependency grant is 154,353. Foster care grant is 397,888. Grant in aid. Yeah, it's 1,049,811. Okay. Care dependency grant is 154,353. Foster care grant is 397,888. Grant in aid is 215,880. So in terms of the number of social relief of distress applications to be awarded, we are targeting 252,833. Program 3, which is social security policy and administration, the strategic objective thereof is an effective and efficient social security system that protects poor and vulnerable people against income poverty. We want to submit a draft social assistance amendment bill to cabinet for approval, and also a draft policy on the universalization of child support grant, and also to draft a regulation on the Social Assistance Amendment Act, which is to be promulgated. So the next target is to submit policy mandatory cover for retirement, disability and survivor benefits to cabinet for approval, and also to submit policy on voluntary inclusion of informal sector workers in social security to cabinet for approval. Uh, Program 4, which is Welfare Services Policy Development and Implementation Support. The strategic objective is to strengthen social welfare service delivery through legislative and policy reforms. We want to submit the white paper on social welfare to Cabinet for approval. So a lot of work has been done in this regard, and also to develop an implementation plan for the demand and supply model for the social service profession and social service practitioners, and monitor implementation of recruitment and retention strategy for social service professionals. The next target is to submit the Social Service Practitioners Bill to Forum of South African Directors General, so basically it's FOSAD, and also to conduct Older Persons Parliament and Active Aging Program. Continuing with Program 4, with the strategic objectives to strengthen child protection service and improve quality of ECD, we want to monitor the implementation of the National Integrated Implementation Plan on ECD policy. We also want to ensure that there's approval for the 2018-2022 National Plan of Action for Children in South Africa. We will also be monitoring the implementation of Children's Act, and also to submit the Child Care and Protection Policy to Cabinet for approval. We also want to develop uniform implementation guidelines for provinces. Honourable members, we also want to capacitate 9 provinces to implement guidelines and strategies for adoption, foster care, and child and youth care centres. We will also develop the inter-central protocol, and also build capacity of 9 provinces to implement active teenage parenting program. Continuing with Program 4, okay, we will be conducting capacity building in 9 provinces to implement the reviewed policy framework on accreditation of diversion services, and also to conduct awareness campaigns in 9 provinces on multidisciplinary integrated social crime prevention strategy. We will also this year submit a bill on victim support services to FOSAT, and also to submit the reviewed South African Integrated Program of Action that addresses gender-based violence to Cabinet for approval. The next target is to submit draft anti-substance abuse policy to FOSAT, and looking at the sketch of substance abuse in the country, in addition to the National Drug Master Plan that will be submitted to Cabinet. In this program, Program 4, the last one is to develop the draft integrated action plan to respond to the social and structural drivers of HIV, TB, and STIs. It was not the last one. We also have targets to submit draft policy on social development services to social protection, community, and human development cluster. We also have national strategic framework on disability rights awareness campaigns to be submitted to Cabinet for approval. One compliance report on implementation of the white paper on persons living with disabilities, WPRPD, and one periodic report on the UNCRPD to be submitted to Cabinet for approval. And the other target is to develop disability rights information portal phase. Program 5, honorable members, which is social policy and integrated service delivery. The strategic objective is to facilitate management and coordination of cross-cutting functions for DSD and the social cluster. The annual target there is to develop EPWP Social Sector Phase 4 plan. And the other strategic objective is to promote and support the implementation of the population policy. Here we want to produce 9 reports on the implementation of the white paper on population policy and the ICPD program of action. So ICPD is International Conference on Population and Development. We also want to finalize the draft policy paper on democratic youth dividend. So it is important that as a country we invest in youth to address the triple challenges. The next target, starting with the strategic objective, is to create an enabling environment for NGOs to deliver effective services by 2019. Here we will be facilitating the implementation of DSD sector funding policy and also to facilitate the implementation of DSD NPO partnership model. We will also submit the non-profit organization bill to cabinet. The next strategic objective is to facilitate and coordinate community development efforts to build vibrant and sustainable communities. The annual target thereof one is to facilitate implementation of the community development practice policy. We also want to facilitate implementation of guidelines and also facilitate Operation Pakisa, deliver lab on social transfers contribution to local economic development. And we are also continuing to implement the Mkhonto program. The next strategic objective is to facilitate and coordinate community development efforts to build vibrant and sustainable communities. We want to facilitate the implementation of social development youth policy in addition to the national one. So basically, as a department, we have the responsibility to contribute to the broader national youth strategy of government. So here we'll be facilitating the implementation of the youth policy and also the youth strategy. And we'll also have 1,000 youth attended national youth camp, something that we have been doing and we are continuing with it to empower our youth. And also to submit policy framework on the management of community-based workers for approval. The next strategic objective is to contribute to poverty eradication and elimination of hunger through support to community-driven programs and the provision of food and nutrition security services. 1,000 cooperatives linked to economic opportunities as a target to achieve this strategic objective. We'll also develop a developmental model for CNDCs and also to assess the implementation of the integrated food and nutrition security plan. And also 415,000 vulnerable individuals and then to access food through CNDCs. Thank you. I'll hand over to the Thanks, Jefferson. Good morning.
Honourable members, please.
Good morning, honourable members.
Sambo and Gwenya.
Thank you. Chairman, we our budget for the 2021 will increase 7.5% and will go from 172.9 billion to 200.8 billion. With regards to our allocation, this is a summary of our allocations of the MTF. In 2018, we see our budget being increased with 345 million, and then there's a total reduction of 630.6 million. Particularly,
reductions that's standing out, Chairperson. There was a 500 million on grants. There was, over the MTF, 30 million reduction in the NDA budget. Social relief of distress, 270 million. And then, as you can see, with the whole council, the outreach, the appeals tribunal, those are the areas that's been affected over the MTF. Also to state that the department had no influence in these things. In fact, we had the NDA's total goods and services budget reduced, and we had to intervene in that regard, and therefore the further reduction in the social relief and distress in order to get the NDA's operational budget again in place. Increases, mainly where the increases and basically where they reduce, they just give us back and make it almost like an allocation specifically for some issues with regards to ITC and with regards to our fleet management. In the budget increases, particularly also we, to compensate for the increase in VET, they've added 2.6 billion over the MTF. Our allocation per program, we see that in administration, it budget moves from 2018-19 to 383 million to 431 million in 2020. Social assistance, 162.9 billion to 189.7 billion in 2020. Social Security Policy and Administration, we've got a 7.8 billion budget in 18-19, and that goes to 8.7 billion in 2020. Welfare Services, 1.2 billion in 18-19, and it goes to 1.4 billion. Social Policy and Integrated Service Delivery, 392 million, and it grows to 440 in 2021. Overall, 7.7 increase over the MTF. In terms of the economic classification, we see little growth in 18-19 in compensation, which is a 2.8% increase. Across the board, then it grows to 7.66 over the next 2 years. In goods and services, our increase is merely 3.3%, and it increased then to 5% over the next 2 years. In terms of transfers, 7.6% increase over the MTF. Our major transfers, mainly the social grants, the grants to FASASA, fraud investigations, the NDA, the social work scholarships, HIV and AIDS, national councils, ECB conditional grant, which started last year, the substance abuse, there's the operations cost of the substance abuse, and then food relief. Program 1, seeing an average increase of 7.9 million over the MTF. Program 1, major increases for Program 1, mainly around corporate management, finance and office accommodation, and that relates to the increase in IT and for fleet, as mentioned earlier. In terms of the economic classification, that increase is then increased the goods and services to 18% in the current financial year, but then comes back the increase to 4% in the next 2 years. This is the, as mentioned earlier, the grant 162.9 billion and gross 189.7 billion. So baseline reductions, as mentioned, social grants 500 million in 2018. We probably expect more in the next budget allocation letter, and then social legal distress, 273 million. Program 3, you see a 5.45% increase of the MTF. And you can see a major reduction in baselines, appeal adjudication, program management, and that was to compensate for the increases in program 1. Economic classifications, mainly goods and services, for 22% in the current financial year, but then an 8% increase again over the next 2 years. Program 4, average increase of 17%, mainly driven by the children's services, HIV and AIDS of the MTF. A major increase is the transfers, 36%. That's the ECB conditional grants. The 412 million on the ECB subsidy expansion. For the current year, it goes to 464 in 2020. The maintenance grant is 78 million, and it goes to 88 million in 2020. The substance abuse is the operational cost for the Northern Cape, Free State, Northwest, and Eastern Cape. You must remember that the only centre not operational at this point, Northern Cape will hope to open up next month, and then Free State is still in construction. Construction will be finished by September to be operational by around November. And then the social work employment grant, that's 196 million. Remember that was a reduction in our bursary in order to fund 600 social workers, unemployed social workers. Program 5, we see an average increase of 4.14% from 392 million to 440 million in 2020. That's not a real increase in this particular program. Average 1% in this current financial year. UHT reduction in goods and services, 7%. Thank you very much.
Let me take this opportunity and welcome the Honourable Minister. Now, I don't know how to close it. Do I give the DG just to close the acting DG? Minister, you are in Hollywood. Just to close this presentation, then I'll allow the minister to give us some words.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Members, and Minister. I think the colleagues have tried to capture the plans for this financial year and the budget. However, the members have also noted the decrease in terms of allocations, especially for NDA and also for programs, because it looks like Paul has been taken to fund Peter. So that's basically what it is. It's not necessarily increases, but basically we have decreases, but I think funds have been moved around by Treasury. Thank you.
No, thank you very much. I just want to also to speak to on the CDA. We are told that they do not have their own APP, but it's built in on it. Can you speak to that?
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. CDA as a statutory body, as outlined in the Prevention of and Treatment for Substance Abuse legislation, they don't have budget appropriated specifically for them. Therefore, also, they don't have a specific APP drawn. What they do have is a business plan that guides their activities for the year in terms of their coordination, because it's mainly a coordination structure, not an implementation structure. Thank you.
Now you confuse me further, because I was... Maybe I'll raise it when I raise my Honourable Minister, you are welcome again. Let me just clarify to you why the department was turned back last week. this committee took a decision some years ago that because we don't have time, most of the time we're not with us, we have many departments as a committee, a decision that says when it comes to planning and reporting of the department, we'll expect the political leadership to be part of the meeting, because really it's about telling us what you're going to do as a department head, as a department in a financial year, spending how much money. And also when it comes to reporting, either the minister or the deputy minister should be part of the meeting. What we had last week, we did not have the minister, we got an apology, which we all understood that the issue of Northwest is beyond our control. But also the deputy minister was not here. We were not sure what was happening with the deputy minister, because she knows, she knows. The DG as well was also not here. It became difficult for the committee to proceed with the department, but we have provided this time for you to present. Let me allow you to make some inputs, your opening remarks, which would have afforded you. We're told that you had late meetings last night. That is why you are coming this morning. Over to you, Minister.
Thank you. Thank you, Chairperson, for giving me this opportunity. My apology for arriving late, but also just to say it's not my intention to come late, but get anyway, if nothing is in, get anyway. Because I'm salali, so I was up to. I even feel like if I had a choice, I would go back where I was. If I had a choice.
Oh.
Yeah. Because I don't have a choice, I'm stuck here. Yeah. But also just to say, and as you indicated, unfortunately last week I was coming. As you know, you were there. Allowed us to be here. You gave us sufficient notice, but unfortunately, because of the Northwest challenge, that's why I had to cancel at the last minute. My sincere apology. It was not intentional. And as you also know, if I didn't attend that to Northwest, it also meant I was not going to be able to come here when the appropriate comes for us to come and present about challenges. So that is why I couldn't come here. But just also to say what has been presented and we are presenting, as you know, it's what we are doing as a department. I must also indicate I had thought the DM was going to be here last week, but unfortunately she had a problem. And I think it also goes, I must also say it goes to next week. We're expected to come here next week. But I also have a program with FASA, as you know, that we have challenges with FASA. So I've pleaded with the Deputy Minister to attend whilst I attend other matters. I hope she'll be able to come. But again, I'm just saying that up front. And the programs which the team has presented, I will say that's what we have, and let's allow them to continue presenting. Then if there are issues which we need to clarify, then we'll clarify. But I thought it's important to say thank you for me, but also I'm committing that there's no way in which I'm going to treat this committee less than the other committee. We'll always make sure that we respect the committee. And we'll always make sure that we are available when required to be here. If not possible, it might mean that there are other pressing issues, but generally we are committed to making sure that we present, I avail myself to present myself to this committee and ensure that we account to it like any other department. I know my team has already started presenting. I will say, let's proceed with the presentation, and then from there we deal with the issue. Masebe deal with any if there are questions to answer, we will do that, and I'll suggest that maybe we deal with the department first, and SASA does its own presentation separately, so that we don't mix the two. Otherwise, we will not be able to clarify issues much better. I might be wrong, but I thought it would be appropriate for us take the department and take SASA separately. That would be my proposal. Thanks, Chair.
Minister, let me apologize. You know, I was watching one program, on the channel 408, you were with the portfolio committee, so I thought you were with us. I'm just reminded that this is the first meeting you are in this committee. No, my apologies. Thank you very much. I think it is fair of us just to introduce ourselves. We know your team. We've been with them. My name is Kathy Lamina. I'm the chairperson of the Select Committee, Social Services, with five departments: Social Development, Human Settlement, Water and Sanitation, Department of Health, and Department of Home Affairs, the Med Committee. On my left, we are two in one. We are two in one. She's also the chairperson of Education and Recreation, but she'll introduce herself. I am representing in the NCOP. We're not like in the NCOP. We are here for the interests of our provinces. I'm representing the beautiful province of this country, Mpumalanga. Over to you, Honorable Zoe. No. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Greetings to Honorable Minister. We already know your team. Mama Zwani from KwaZulu-Natal Province. I represent the province in the NCOP as well as in this committee. Chairperson has already explained that we are two in one. I'm responsible for higher education, basic education, arts and culture, and sports and recreation. Thank you.
Good morning. Delisi Langwenya, representing Gauteng Province.
Morning. I'm Tandim Pambos Bugwana, representing the Western Cape, the most beautiful project.
Thank you. Goeiemôre, good morning. I'm Chris Harting from an under administration Northwest Province.
Thanks, Chairperson. Good morning. My name is Mtomse Kaula. I represent the Kingdom of KwaZulu.
Good morning. My name is Jeannie LaRue, and I'm a researcher for the committee.
Good morning. I'm Tabile Kete, the content advisor.
Good morning, Marcel Williams, the committee secretary.
Minister, we received two apologies from honourable members, Honourable Samka and Honourable Stock. Samka is short. I have an apology from Honourable Samka. She's from the Eastern Cape, and Honourable Mshodi from Free State, Honourable Stock from the Northern Cape Province. Honourable Mshodi is joining us. Those are the members of the committee. In total, we're responsible for nine departments. So that That is why sometimes we take time to meet with you, because we have all the department plus their entities. It becomes a massive task. Mr. We have just received a presentation from DSD. We're going to receive now a presentation from SASA. There are issues that I had, I would have loved to raise earlier. I will still raise them now, but I said I'll raise them when you come. We indicated that this is our last year in this fifth administration to deal with your APP. That is why it was also very important for us to have the political head being part of the meeting. We had so many episodes. Minister, I don't know whether I agree with you, whether you were right there, but we really appreciate that you are part of this department and you have our support. Some of the issues that we raised as a committee when we started is the issue of ECDs. For us, it was not clear who is responsible for the building of ECDs. Because you can't prioritize ECD and you don't provide resources. You have ECD, your department that was providing subsidies, and you had education responsible for the curriculum, you have health responsible for health issues, but nobody was responsible for infrastructure development. We just want to appreciate the department's effort, even though it's not finally their mandate to build ECDs. But during our oversight, we've seen beautiful ECDs that have been built by this department through NDA. We really appreciate that. We must say as a committee that it shows that you take into cognizance what we raise as a committee, other than making a talk show. The other issue that we raise as a committee is the appointment of social workers. What has been happening is that you are providing a lot of money for bursaries, but after completion, those social workers were not appointed. And it was becoming a serious problem for the department and for the government that you can't train people. On the other hand, you are saying you are short of social workers. Okay, you train them, but you don't make sure that they are absorbed. We then requested the department to reduce budget for the bursaries and increase for the absorption, which happened. It's not all of them that are absorbed, but we really appreciate the effort that you have made as a department. It is appreciated. On the issue, or we raise an issue about your APP, which I've just seen now happening. If you take time, Honourable Minister, your APP is more inward looking. Yet you're supposed to provide services to the people, except the grants. We see the grants. But the majority of your targets are inwards, are more on policies, are more on facilitation. Yet, on the other hand, you have a massive problem of drugs and substance abuse. We ask ourselves, we ask your department, who is responsible to do programs for those people? You look at this current APP that you have just presented now. Nothing is talking about programs that you'll be doing for drugs and substance abuse, except the policy and the money for CDA, which had been confirmed now that it's for coordination. Now, the question we are asking ourselves is that who is responsible to come up with programs for those people who are involved? We said in this APP, we want to see a change. There's not a change, as I've seen the plan now. I don't know if members will raise it, but as I was following the presentation, I see the same pattern of the APP. I was even saying to them, that is why you're getting a clean audit all the time. Because most of the things are policy coordination facilitation. Who will get a disclaimer on that? Because those are the things that anyone can really have control on them. There is also an issue of violence on children and women, which this department also has to play a role. This APP as well, there are no programs that I've seen unless if you have squeezed them on your quarterly programs, but on the annual target as you are presenting, I did not see programs. Except policies, regulations, or coordination or facilitation. In terms of the actual programs, and these are the problems that are affecting the country in a big way, increasing each and every year. We wanted to see physical problem. What is it that you're going to do as a department on this issue? I think it was 2014 when we were told that it is only in 2014 that social cohesion has now been given to you as a department. But in this APP, we said we would want to see programs on social cohesion. I did not hear anything on the APP about social cohesion. These are the things that we've been raising year in, year out, that we want to see on the APP of the department. Mainly, these are the issues, except on SASA issues. On SASA issues, Minister, not only the department was put in pressure, ourselves, as Parliament, as well as the country. You know, when you don't know if the grant recipient will receive it or not. And our main concern as a committee was that it was a plan that was presented by this department that in 3 years we'll be ready. But in 3 years, they were not ready. We were put under pressure in such that our own role of oversight was taken by force, which was uncalled for. And we requested, Minister, that we need to get a quarterly report. That was last year. We have not received one report to date from SASA on what the progress on there. Yeah. So these are the issues that we are saying we should raise them with you, and they've been raised by members since year in, year out. They are not attended to. So we thought that we should raise them with you. As we continue with our plans, members will raise their issues, but I thought I should raise these issues. All members, we agreed that, did you agree that we'll take SASA 45 minutes, then later we'll input on these issues. Even these that I'm raising, Minister, they can respond after SASA's presentation. SASA, are you ready?
Can I just request your indulgence to respond to some of the issues which you have raised, but also respond to some of the SASA things where I am. And the reason I want to do that is just that so that when you ask, then there are certain things which have been clarified, which I thought is important. Just to say, the issues you've raised from the department. When I get a lot of meetings here, they didn't have any such a presentation, so I'm on the same stage.
This would have come before.
Figure nine. Because you would have expected that I get this before and then be able to go through it and be able to respond to some of the issues which you are raising today in again like some of the things which one has to try and fix as we move forward. But just to indicate, to say the issues you've raised, I've noted them. As I started, it's some of the issues which I am also concerned and worried about. Hence, we've agreed that we are going to go on a breakaway, not a straight plan. A breakaway where we'll relook at the programs, but also how do we reposition the department. Maybe it has not been shared with you, my predicament when I came to this department was that when I ask, like, when you start as any other minister, you've got to be briefed. I was confronted by three structures of the department. There was a structure of 2015, structure of 2016, structure of 2017. And I heard the chair said we are in Hollywood. And indeed, we are in Hollywood. To what extent do we act? That's another factor. But then the reason why I'm raising this is because it impacts on our delivery. It impacts on the programs we have to say, how do we stabilize and deliver? So where we are, because the structure of 2015, there was a structure which was provisionally approved by DPSA. But it was never funded. There are certain things which had to be fixed, but that there was never an opportunity of going back to DPSA to say this is what we are doing and conclude that. The advantage I know is because I come from almost the same situation. So I'm almost in that space. We are in a space where we don't have an approved structure, but where also we had various people who were employed, and where now we have a structure which is not well balanced, where we have 44 core and 56 support. And in terms of government, you must have more core, because those are your delivery mechanisms, and support less. So we also have to fix that. And that also impacts on your budget. Because if you've got more support, then it means you have money which you're not supposed to be having. So I thought I will indicate, and the issues with, and the programs we've raised, these are some of the issues which will go away. I know that we've got APPs, but we are going to have to adjust in a way that will make us to be an appropriate department. So we'll be going on a breakaway. End of this month. We will write formally, but I also want to extend to the two chairs that if you can join us, because it becomes important for the chairpersons of our own committees to participate in helping us and understanding where we are going. So that's where we are. The issues you're raising of social workers, it's an issue. I've raised it as a new person, but also I think we'll have to work together to find a mechanism of fixing that. The issue of the ECD, I agree, it's a challenge, but also we can't resolve on our own. We've got to work with the Department of Basic Education for us to come up with mainstreaming the issue of ECDs. The issue of absorption of the extra capacity we've created, I must say, it's an issue which has also been raised by the unions. It's a challenge. It's an issue which we're engaging NABO food. We're going to deal with that on a continuous basis. The issue of violence and against women and children, as you know, we also have to deal with that within also the context of the Department of Women, because that's where, how do we align that properly to make sure that we are on the right track. Programs, you've raised them. We have noted, but we've also recognized that we've got to do these matters in a particular way. When it comes to SASA, just to share with you, I think you've touched on the issue that we are in court, we are still in court. I'm not going to go back to the past, but I'm going to try and relate where we are. We are in court. We are expected to report on a monthly basis to the court. So we're working with SASSA in making sure that we do report. The report which is required by the court is that SASSA must report, the minister must report. So we must submit two reports every month. And our last reporting is going to be in August. The court talks about 6 months. When you read, they talk about it's not 6 months. For us, it's 5 months. We in September, our last report must be in by end of August. So that's where we are. We are working with the post office. We've got challenges, I must say that up front, but we are saying we don't have a choice. Whether we like it or not, we're not going to go to court. As you know that the court gave us a further extension in 6 months to report to them. If we're unable to deal with it, or if there are people who are hoping that we must go to court and ask for an extension, that's not our choice. We must make sure that we meet the court order and its obligation. As I say, we've got challenges, but we'll have to rise up to those challenges in making sure that we're able to do that. We are working with SASSA. As members of the committee, I think you need to know we have what we call card swap, where we're moving from SASSA to SaboCard as the new card. Do you have it? Card edition? Evidence. So this is the old card of SASSA, and this is going to be the new card, which will be issued by the post office. And the reason is that we are moving towards the post office. As you know, there was a tender which we are supposed to have issued. Due to some technical challenges, we had to cancel the tender. And the post office now is our service provider. There are various reasons. When we have time, we can come and brief the committee really in detail about why this route. But where we are, the post office must be our service provider. The court says and said to us, we must never come back and ask for an extension, or we must not come back and talk about CPS, because 5 years ago they said CPS's thing was invalid. For whatever reason, we've not done it. But where we are, we don't have a choice. Our target is that come end of September, 1st of October, our people must no longer get their money through CPS. We have various challenges. CPS is trying to push itself, and it's quite clear that some of the things are happening. Kasasa zingaphakathi sidliwa izintola zethu, if I have to put it that way. Intola zethu ziyasidla kwakhona lapha. As we try to move, zikhona intola ziyasidla nazo. But I must say, we are going to make sure that we comply with the court order. And there are some who hope that we will have to go and ask for an extension. It's not a choice. We have undermined, I must say, because this is a committee, we have undermined the Constitutional Court to a point, the way we've done it, the Constitutional Court, it's so helpless. That's where we are, where the court feels guilty. Because we have failed to meet or to comply with the order. So that's where we are. So I thought I need just to give this background to say that's where we are. And where we are expected to transfer 2.5 million beneficiaries, which are the ones where we're talking about cash payment. As you know, we have about 18.4 million beneficiaries, but the biggest challenge, or the ones who are in court, it's the 2.5. I'm a pay point. So that's what we need to be working on. We are there. We don't have a choice. We can't go back. We can't go back, Kaula, to the court and ask for a further extension. kayinkosimpela sizabele sithathe iy'ntambo sizikhune because umsebenzi wethu asiwazi but that's where we are. We have to meet the court decision by making sure come 1st of April there's no CPS. And just to share with yourself, CPS is continuing to cause confusion. CPS is continuing to lure people on the green card. They are trying to get people back, and that's the CPS which continue to ukuthatha ama airtime abogogo. That's the CPS which was offering loans to elderly. Why should EFF want yes?
Honorable Minister.
Askisi, pulling your leg. I'm joking. So, what I'm saying is that he knows it. You know the CPF. I'm telling you the stories which you know. CPF is fighting, I must say. They are fighting as we speak. Joe Mankelila, Sialwa on the ground in the CPF. Eh? So we have all those things. So we help, we're hoping this committee, that's why I'm saying if I wish you could get it, you must help us in your own constituencies because they are hell-bent not to move out. I was also away to the other day on Tuesday and I discovered that they continue giving people the green card. So it's a big war. We are in a war with the CPS. They are refusing to go out. But where I sit as a minister, I think in Twala Zetu nazo ziyasiza ukuncedisa ukuthi mayingahambi CPS. But we are working with the post office. It means we must make everything by making sure. One of the challenges, you find that we are told that kuna mali ezinye izinto siyavumelana zingenzeki. So these are some of the challenges which I thought just overall to share with you about CPS. Where sempini, if one has to put it that way, for whatever reason. But as I say, we don't have a choice. We will really have to make sure we move. I don't think the court will grant us another opportunity. That's why it was a minister team that was this storm. Mobangegi court is another opportunity. We have also met with a team of experts on it. There were those experts who are supposed who are doing oversight. We've met with them. I must say, when I started, I was told they're hostile, but I found them to be helpful. We're working well now. But they are also satisfied that we are making progress. The other thing I know you've read in the papers that, or there's been information that we are reducing the pay points. We want to say it's part of propaganda. If we have to, let me also explain. We have said the pay points must be within a 5 kilometer radius. So what we found is that in some areas you have a bank ATM, you have a post office, you have your hall. And they're within that five, and some are even 500 meters away from each other. So there's duplication. So we're not going to reduce, but we're going to consolidate. Ogutama members to Angal so good. But where we realize it's going to be far, we are in a process of even saying we will talk to transport industry to take our people to the nearest pay point. If ngabe, ngoba there are pay points where you find that the service is 700 by 100. So it doesn't make sense. Abungonos bakthwale labantu bayo kwi pay point eseduzane, especially in the rural areas. That's where we are. But our future, it's that, which I think you might have been briefed in the past, was that the post office is going to be our temporary, what did you call it? BOT, build and transfer. We've moved away from build and transfer. The post office, kumele improve its own infrastructure. That's where we are going for the future, not for now. The post office in the rural areas must be built in a way that they can be service providers. Must be the post office when we grew up was able to provide a service. Nasemakaya, there must be post offices which can build and be adequate and modernized. So these are where we are going. So I thought just to share with you broadly that if the select committee would want us to come and present, we can extensively Nesasa really give you the plan. Nokuthi sikuphi, ningasincedisa kanjani as we move forward. So I thought that ngizabafundlalela nje ukuthi to share with you about the future of where we are going. But where we are saying SASSA must also build its own infrastructure, cha, sesidlulile lapha. Because we can't build infrastructure. We want the post office to be the service provider of choice. Because it's government to government. Masikasikhethele la mathenda siqedile. Sifile nje, sinje nje, simanqaba nqaba amathenda.
Okay, thank you very much, Minister. I think all members, we do need time to get a full briefing on SASSA. We will check if time permits us, I don't know when. But if time permits, we have to. It's a must have. As you're saying, that as we go back to our constituency offices or wherever we address, we're in a position to speak on the matters that we're clear about on what is happening moving forward. But we really appreciate that. SASSA, I don't know, maybe the minister was eating one more time. I'm not sure about that. Try and be straight to the point on your presentation without compromising information that you want the committee to give.
Thank you very much. Good morning, Chairperson. Good morning, Minister, colleagues and members of the committee. We have a presentation that we circulated. I think the one for the minister is also in the file. We are going to be presenting the performance plan for the 2018-19 in terms of the targets that have been set. And then also we will highlight the budget requirements for the year 2018-19. Of strategy, apart from hope, I will do the presentation on the performance plan, and then the CFO, Takaruwa Chauke, will do the financials. We also just want to reiterate a point that we definitely were not, I wasn't aware that the report for the quarter was never served on the committee, but as the minister undertook, we will definitely make sure that that report comes through and we can come and represent it in detail from the last time that the committee met with SASSA. And I will hand over to Rapahle. Those that do not know me, I'm Abraham Mahlangu, the acting CEO at SASSA.
Good morning, ministers. Good morning, chairperson. Good morning, honorable members. And good morning, colleagues. The presentation is on the annual performance plan for 2018. We'll go straight into the presentation outline for the purpose, introduction, the strategic priorities, and we'll present on the two programs. SASSA has two programs, which is administration and benefits administration and support. And we'll go to the outlook, which will, financial outlook will be done by the CFO. The purpose of the presentation is to brief the Committee on Social Services on the SASSA 2018 Annual Performance Plan and Budget. Honorable Chairperson, because... Oh, it's not working. Thank you, Chairperson. As I indicated, because we are in the last year of the stress plan, our vision and mission and the slogan have not changed. We continue to implement the stress plan as approved. We still aspire to be the leader in the delivery of social security services, and our mission is to administer the social security services to eligible children, older persons, and people with disabilities. And we strive to pay the right social grant to the right person at the right time. Our work is aligned to the National Development Plan in terms of outcome setting, which is an inclusive and responsive social protection, and the sub-outcome that we work in is deepening social assistance and extending the scope for social security, which is sub-outcome 4. Our strategic outcome-oriented goal is to expand access to social assistance and creating a platform for future payment of social security benefits. And we try to render social assistance to eligible beneficiaries. In terms of introduction and context, we are presenting SASA's 2018-19 annual performance plan, which is informed by a number of significant developments that are impacting on the agency's performance. As you, the Minister has mentioned, we have an agreement with South African Post Office, which will facilitate the payment of social grants on behalf of SASA. We have the Constitutional Court judgment of March 2018, which has been extended to allow SASA to pay the current to pay social grants in terms of cash payments for a period of 6 months, so we have to work within that context. We also have to review the method through which we do cash payments, including the migration of beneficiaries to electronic channels, particularly those who live within the areas where there's electronic platform. We also want to do internal review and reprioritization of some of the projects. And as members are aware, we are also moving from an environment where we had a qualified audit opinion. So we are striving hard to clear ourselves from that environment. Our priority is to reduce income poverty by providing social assistance to eligible individuals. We also want to improve service delivery and improve our own organizational efficiency and ensure that we institutionalize social grants payment system within SASA. But this is something that we have to review to say, what does it mean? Does it mean SASA owning, or does it mean us just controlling and managing but ensuring that SASA does the greater part of that actual payment? Oh, we're saying when our priority has always been to institutionalize the payment of social grants. But in terms of institutionalizing, we have to review the method through which we institutionalize. Now that we have South African Post Office as a major partner, our role is more to strengthen our control and management in terms of systems so that whatever SAPO is doing, we are able to support and we are able to have information and be able to monitor the services strategically, instead of us being the people who are distributing cash or money to the beneficiaries. We'll still be utilizing SAPO in terms of our. So it's more the interpretation about the institutionalization that I was trying to clarify. We do have two programs, as I indicated. One is program administration. The second one is benefits administration. And under benefits administration, we have the benefits administration. We have the payment administration. I'll go straight into the target, starting with Program 1. Under Program 1, our objective, the first one, is to uphold good governance. And in terms of upholding good governance, one of the major things that we are working on is to ensure that all fraud and theft and corruption cases that are reported are investigated within the prescribed time frame. And our target is always to ensure that at least 70% of all reported cases in a financial year are investigated.
We also want to ensure that our risk register is regularly updated and monitored. We plan to conduct 30 internal audit reviews on high-risk areas, and we have listed the high-risk areas such as supply chain, the payment environment, and also areas that have to do with the grant payments themselves. And we also have strived to work towards an unqualified audit outcome. In terms of human capital management, our objective is to provide effective and efficient human capital management. One of our plans will be to review the organizational structure in order to incorporate the new payment administration functions that SASSA will be doing, but also certain things such as the biometric function. We have to ensure that you have the capacity within the organization that would be able to monitor and control some of the data that we are busy and massive that we have collected from CPS, because some of these functions have previously been done by CPS. We want to review our HR plan and capacity model in order to ensure that whatever we do is aligned to the new organizational structure. We also have to ensure that 95% of all funded posts are filled at all times. And the other important element is that we have a number of labor relations cases, and we have decided to elevate this into the APP this year to ensure that they are regularly monitored and they are finalized within the prescribed time frame. This is to ensure that we don't pay people for a longer period while they are sitting at home because there's appeal or we're still dealing with the cases. And the next objective is to ensure beneficiary records are safely kept and managed. Here we have gone into, when we started the stress planning, yes, we got into a project where we were going into partnerships with some of the records management centers through a core sourcing model. We have done all the regions, and now the outstanding one is the Eastern Cape, which we'll be finalizing and concluding during this current financial year. And also linked to this, we are working on automation of our registry so that in future we can reduce the number of paper that we are working with. In terms of the long term, we also want to look at the infrastructure plan. As you know, we have more than 2,000 offices across the country, so we have to have a proper infrastructure management plan so that we can know where are we going into the future. Do we still want to open more satellite offices or reduce, and how do we align with SAPO in terms of our future infrastructure development? On ICT, we also seeking to do ICT governance in order to ensure that we reduce fraud. And our area of focus here is the issue of biometric identity access management system. We want to ensure that it's implemented for SOCPEN. Here we are talking about the system where before people get into any our social pension system, they have to enter using the biometric because we've had fraud that was using the passwords. So we are implementing the access management system. But also the same system will be the same one that we are going to use even for beneficiaries. Already we have started with the beneficiaries. We have rolled out for beneficiaries in all the SASSA local offices. Then we'll be rolling out the one for staff. We have already procured, but we need to do the full rollout and training. In terms of operations, we also want to improve our network connectivity infrastructure in 116 offices. As we get into payment, we have lots and lots of data which require us to review our infrastructure plan so that it can be able to sustain. Particularly as you take biometric information, the pictures are bigger, so they require a bigger infrastructure. And in terms of data, we also be developing a data governance framework, and we'll also be finalizing the business intelligence solution, which will focus on the payments administration so that we can have information source. As people are getting paid, we can have regular update and information that is regularly updated and SASSA is fully informed, unlike in the past where CPS owned everything and we did not have access to direct information. In terms of financial management, we are planning to ensure that the social assistance payment accounts are fully reconciled. What we have currently is that we have accounts that are paid through SAPO. We have accounts for beneficiaries that are paid through the bank. We use our bank self account. We do direct transfer, etc. So we want a situation that all these payments, as you do them, that reconcile, you can reconcile them at home, but also to ensure that you don't have any double payment at any given stage. So we are developing a system for that within SASSA. We also want to ensure that all our suppliers are paid within 30 days. And we also want to ensure that we recover the social assistance debtors, and those that need to be written off could be written off. We will be also finalizing the financial misconduct cases within 30 days for both current and backlog cases. Going into program two, which is the benefits administration and support, our plan is to ensure that new social grant applications are processed, and our target for this coming this current financial year is to work on 1.6 million new applicants, and we have given given the breakdown in terms of per province, what do that mean. In terms of we want to improve the grant application process, and here we are working on reducing it from the 15 days to 10 days turnaround, but we still want to emphasize that still 85% of our applications are processed within 1 day, but we have allowed ourselves the 10 days to allow for disability grants and those that we process in the service points, because when we process applications in the service points, we have to collect them to the local office for finalization, because we would not have a system that does that the full turnaround time. We also intend to increase the number of grants that are in payment. Currently, we have, in the previous financial year, we had 17.4. Now we are targeting 17.7 in order to ensure that we pay the older persons, the children, and people with disabilities. And we have also provided the breakdown per program to say what does it mean. Our plan is also to ensure that for children between 0 and 1, we ensure that we increase the numbers. In the past, we have had reports that indicated that we were running short in terms of we were not doing well in terms of children between 0 and 1. That's why we have elevated them to say we need to monitor them to ensure that the take-up rates for this category of grants of children are monitored and we give them priority. So we are targeting this year, we are targeting to have 560,000. The intention is that they must be at par in terms of the target grouping with all other children who are at age categories who are at 70% take-up rate. For the 0 to 1, we are still at 80% the take-up rate. On the SRB applications, we are planning to do 252,833 SRB applications, and this will be done at a cost of 410 million. And of the money that we have been allocated for SRB, we are intending to dedicate 123 million of this amount to smaller businesses and cooperatives. We also plan to reduce the inclusion errors, particularly with foster care grants, by ensuring that we conduct the foster care reviews. This is the work that we do in collaboration with the social workers in the Department of Social Development and the courts. So the foster care reviews that we are targeting for this financial year is 130,976. This target is always prescribed. It's not like we have a choice. Those are the ones that are expiring. But I need to indicate that because of the extension of the court that has been given currently, so we don't have that backlog. Although if there's a backlog, the children are continued to be paid. On the awareness, we want to do iCrop, and in terms of iCrop, we are targeting 309 watts, which will be visiting for iCrop purposes. This is to communicate with beneficiaries on the benefits of the payment system, but also introducing them to electronic payment channels, and also we'll be communicating using the various electronic media in addition to iCrop as we go to beneficiaries. The priority for iCrop this year is more to communicate on the payments and on the new support agreement, and also introducing the new card. We also, our plan is to make sure that we phase out CPS by 30th of September 2018 in line with the Constitutional Court mandate, and also to ensure that SAPO is phased in before the 1st of September, but the conclusion of the phasing in and clearing will be by end of September. We also want to ensure that all existing beneficiaries that are currently paid by CPS are paid by SAPO before the end of June. So our own cash swap process for cash beneficiaries, we are prioritizing it for June, and should we have challenges to finish it by June, July and August will be used to sweep around those that we are not able to get, so that come August, end of August. Okay. Yes, apologies, Minister. So what we're doing is that our plan is that we have, that we still have to share, is that by June, for the 1.9 million, Minister, it's no longer 2.5, we have reduced it to 1.9 billion beneficiaries. We want to move, remove the old CPF, the old SASSA card, and give them the new SAPO card. So that comes the 1st of August, already we are depositing into the new card, so that if there's problems with the card, by September, we know that we deal with the problems or systematic issues. We did have challenges in May when we started with the card swap. Our network was not very strong, but we used May as a pilot so that we can see what are the problems that we are experiencing. Now in June, we have realized that because of the system and the numbers that we are dealing with, we have to also implement the offline capacity for re-registration in order to improve the card swap processes. So you may have had people complaining about some of the challenges that we have had. That was because of the piloting process, but we are working on them. We are hoping that by the end of July, by the end of June, those problems would have dealt with. Like this week, we have introduced the offline system in order to increase the numbers for card swap. In terms of Regulation 26A, Regulation 26A is the one that allows for deductions for funeral policies. This service was also done by CPS previously on behalf of SASSA. We have fully taken the responsibility away from them. We have more than 763,000 deductions, Regulation 26A, that deductions that we are managing now. And we have seen that there are exceptions that where people were deducted more than 10%, and in some cases they were not, there were combination of deductions where somebody will be taking it will appear as if it's a funeral policy, but inside it is linked to loans and other things. So we have started to manage it. We are cleaning up, we are consulting beneficiaries so they can come in and give us proper mandate and facilitating that they are aligned to proper institution or proper policy institution. So our work here is collection of mandate, is management of exceptions and maintaining the database, but we are not doing insurance work. In terms of the cash pay points, our target is to reduce cash pay points by 20%. As the minister has indicated, we do have cash pay points, even in some of the towns. Like in Pretoria, we have a pay point in the showground, but you still have other payment infrastructure in the area. It's becoming more and more expensive, and with the current cash time, we have to reduce the cash points where they are not necessary. So our target is to reduce by 20%. If possible, we may even exceed the 20% because we have seen that more than 5,000 of our pay points are within the 5-kilometer radius with other payment infrastructure. So it's just a duplication of services. It's not worth it to have those. But for those areas where we don't have infrastructure, we will be working with SAPO. SAPO will be going on a procurement plan to get mobile ATMs. But in smaller pay points, we will be working with the transport industry or the local businesses in order to transport beneficiaries to the nearest SAPO or nearest payment infrastructure or nearest cash pay point that is bigger. And we feel that transporting people may be cheaper than also transporting cash with the current cash lines the way they are. I think
thank you very much, Honourable Chairperson and Honourable Members and Honourable Minister. On slide 26, we're depicting for the committee to consider the resourcing plan in terms of the APP that has been presented to the committee. If one was to look in terms of the 2016-17, because it will really be able to really assist us to place 2018-19 in a context. We had a baseline of 7.5 billion rand, which was the allocation that we've got. In 2017-18, we had 7.4 billion that we have received, and that was a 2% reduction. But for 2018-19, we have got 8.2 billion that would be utilized to fund the APP. And I will just break for the committee in the following slides. Included in the amount of 8.2 billion is the 515 million, which is cash in the bank. The transfer that we have received from the department, as the DSD CFO has indicated, is 7.7 billion. But we also had cash in the bank. For the outer years, we could see that the growth is only 2% and 3%. Slide 27 depicts largely where the breakdown at the high level of the 8.2 billion. If we look at that, 45% of the 7.7 billion, which is the allocation that we receive from the department as a transfer, goes to compensation of employees, because the SASA model is more people to be able to be in touch with our community. So 45% of that allocation goes to compensation of employees. 5%, which is 401 million, goes to computer services. These are contracts with CETA and the software licenses. It's more of the ICT contracts that we have within the agency. And 30% of the 7.7 billion goes to cash handling fees, which is the contract that we have with CPS. Currently, we also have to really honor the obligation with SABU of the 2.3 billion rand that we're going to do. And a percentage of that, of the allocation, goes to medical assessments, which is your disability grants. Then we'll have to really appoint the doctors that need to do those medical assessments. And 5% of the allocation goes to the lease payments, which is the office accommodation, and inclusive of that, it will be the pay points that we also lease across the country. It's about in excess of 8,000 pay points. And 6% goes to property payments. This is services that include your municipal services, your security services, and your cleaning services. Of note, you will see, Honorable Chair, that 92% of the SASA allocation is taken largely by the contractual obligations together with the COE, which leaves actually 8% to fund the other operations, which is the 585 million that remains when you take the 7.7 billion, you minus the contractual obligations together with the COE. And of that 585 million, you'll have to fund the rest of the business that includes your stationery, your training and development, your ICROP, your fleet and communication, and also the audit. But because for the previous years, we have already got the cash retained surplus, which is the cash in the bank, that we have already got an approval from Treasury that we could commit to some of the projects that we have committed to. The 515 million, I would really spell in another slide, what is it funded and the projects that we're running in terms of that. So that makes the 8.2 billion, that is the allocation that we will be utilizing for this. Slide 28, it just depicts the economic classification of the 8.2 billion. I've already indicated that COE is about 3.4 billion. Goods and services, 4.7 billion, and 35 million goes to the transfers and subsidies. We're just looking at the high level in terms of the pie chart. 45% of the allocation goes to COE, and the rest fund both the goods and services and the transfers. Slide 29. This indicates the percentage share at the high level in terms of the high level cost center. And in terms of the 9 regions and head office, what is the percentage share across the provinces? We'll see that Eastern Cape takes 9% of the budget, Free State 4%, and Gauteng 6%, KZN 10%, Limpopo 6%, Mpumalanga 4%, Northern Cape 4%, Northwest 5%, and Western Cape takes 5%, and head office takes 47% of the total allocation. Of note is that the 2.3 billion that we deal with the contract, why head office has 47%, largely because of the 2.3 billion, which is the handling fees, which is sitting there, and also because most of the ICT infrastructure are catered by head office, and therefore the systems are centralized there. Slide number 30. This indicates the background of what we have funded for the 515 million, which relates to the retained surplus, which is the cash in the bank. During the presentation, Mayor Ramaphosa indicated that we are trying to automate the registries, which means that when you take applications at local offices, we'll have to scan that application so that we reduce the amount of paper that is required, but we can keep the paper for audit purposes. But for the operations of the organization, we can utilize a scanned document, and that is the 96 million contract that we've got. We have got actually an integrated community registration outreach program, which is the ICROP, at 114 million. And this is to really make inroads of the 309 wards that we have already committed in the APP to be able to interface with our beneficiaries and be able to really render services and taking the services to them. We have already bought the ERP servers. The ERP servers is the Enterprise Resource Planning System, which is Oracle that we are using. And we have already bought those servers. This is the remaining balance that we needed to pay for this year, just to make sure that the refreshed servers are operational. We have already commissioned a business intelligence solution, and this will assist us in the analysis of data for reporting and be able to really manipulate data for management use. And that system will be about 9.3 million. We have already indicated that the tender for the staff biometrics, so that when a staff processes a transaction, whether it's on a SOC pen, whether it's on Oracle or any platform of the system that we're utilizing, then such a staff will have to use the biometric to be able to really access that. We have also extended this contract now to at least cater for the biometrics that need to be taken from beneficiaries. And this contract is currently running. We're already at the implementation phase. And that's 103 million that we'll be dealing with. We also had three offices that need to be constructed in Northern Cape under the JTG district because of lack of accommodation that we have, Honorable Chair. We have appointed IDT to deliver on this. They've already started with two, but I've already appointed service providers in two of the three areas, and which is the Churchill, the Talcong, and Palteros. So those are the three offices that we were constructing through the IDT. We have already got the service level agreement with IDT. It's running. Five million will be spent on data collection. There's a big debt book that we're dealing on behalf of the department because we are already managing the debt book on behalf of the department. And also the work that is done by SIU in terms of the data. So currently there's a need to clean up the debt book within the SIU and be able to really make inroads in terms of recovery. And we'll be spending about five million to deal with that. We're already in the transition mode in terms of us being able to work with SAPO to deal with the issues of grants payment. And that project has been funded at 100 million of that. And we're already now in the process of upgrading the local offices. Like I indicated that we're doing the scanning solution. When you need to scan documents, you're going to need a much higher bandwidth in local offices so that you can transmit the images. And we have funded that project at 44 million. And we're anticipating the lot of legal costs that we need to deal with it at 33 million. This includes actually the constitutional court costs that are we incurring, funding also the whole issue of the panel of experts and also dealing with any other constitutional court directions that we may require in terms of the legal costs. So that is the breakdown of the 515 million that will support the activities within SASO. Slide 31, Honorable Chair, just only summarizes in a narrative way generally what I've already spoken to, but also of importance, obviously, we understand that the contractual obligations will grow in terms of the CPI in other instances where we've contracted, but also we have taken care of the 1% VAT increase, which started to be implemented from the 1st of April. So the impact of the current running contract, the VAT portion of it, but we have already taken care of. In the nutshell, Honourable Chair, I think I would be able to hand back to Mayor Ramphupha just to conclude the presentation. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I think in conclusion, we're recommending that the committee support the SASSA's annual performance plan and budget for 2018 financial year.
Thank you very much. You still have 1.5 minutes.
Thank you very much. Let me allow members to interact. Minister, I don't know whether you want to come now or at the end. At the end. Let me allow members to interact with the two presentations. But just to indicate one thing that has been said by the Minister, that some of the things that we have noted, they are going to look at them as a, I don't know, what did you call this thing? Breakaway. Yeah. Honorable Zwane, Honorable Mamburu, Honorable Ngwenya, Honorable Mpambo Spokwane, Honorable Chris, are you with me?
I am.
Okay. I'm happy for that you went there before this meeting. Honorable Kaula, Ngwenya, you're fine. Not Ngwenya, Honorable Mshodi.
I'm fine, sir.
Okay. In that order.
Thank you, Chairperson. We welcome the presentation, both presentations, and also the opening remarks of the Honourable Minister. And just to say that we acknowledge the fact that the Minister is prepared to ensure that she puts things straight in the department and try by all means to ensure that we do not lose, as a government, confidence in the eyes of the public, and your preparedness also to comply and observe the stipulations and the directives of the court and deliver in terms of their expectations as well. I did note that you did invite the committee to support you whenever it is possible to do so, and support you in some of the instances where you might require the support of the committee. We did take note of that, and also that your department is going to treat this committee like any other committee where you appear before for oversight purposes. But we are going to strengthen, Chairperson, our oversight in light of the fact that there is a transition in this committee, and you all have to pull together to ensure that you perform to the expectations according to APP. I just want to refer to a couple of issues. In the first presentation on page 5, first presentation by the department itself, I was looking at an item on social relief of distress. And I noted that the allocations for 18-19 financial year and 19-20 are static. I just seek clarity in that regard as to why is it that the allocations there are static. You don't expect any form of increase of applications in that regard. And also the allocations in that very presentation of people with disability, I observed that over the MTEF, they tend to decrease. I see clarity in terms of why is there a decrease in that regard. The issue of the bursaries for social workers has been explained by the Minister. I'm not going to go back into that. What's the plan of the department, Honorable Minister? When people are assisted by way of social grants, alongside that, the development projects undertaken by NTA and also I had SASSA, they are assisting authorities. When a person is financially able, They first are assisted in terms of a social grant. They develop in life until they reach a stage where they are able, because maybe they're involved in projects or they're receiving assistance here and there. How do you determine that now this person must be weaned off the social assistance so that other people can actually get assistance as well? Is it a permanent arrangement, or is it meant you take a person up to the stage where they can stand on their own and then they are able to live and sustain without depending on government? The issue of ECD practitioners. The Department of Basic Education is responsible for curriculum design, but the training of those practitioners, I want to believe it is the responsibility of the SD. Or is it still the responsibility of basic education? I see clarity in that regard. Because I was going to want to know how many are going to be trained, against how many that have been trained, what is it short for? Your program on substance and drug abuse is very, very important. Our children are dying of substance and drug abuse, leading to the killings of women, female children, and things like that, conflicts in the family, deaths, and so on. I don't know if the allocation that you're giving for such programs would actually assist us to ensure that we reach each and every community to fight the scourge of this very bad social ill. The fight by CPS, I don't understand, Honourable Minister, whether people have got, they still have an option to use CPS, or they are confined to be paid by the post office. I don't understand. They still have an option, or the option is getting closed as we move on, because I would have thought that the issue of CPS is closed and people are channeled to the agency that the government has decided on. And we are going to talk about this in our constituencies. We undertake to do so, because people must not be misled for bad ulterior motives. Consolidation of pay points, this needs to be explained broadly to the people, that it's not that they are being disadvantaged deliberately. It's only that there is consolidation with a view to ensuring that they are saving, so that we can use the money the best way you can. Why 95% of funded posts? Why not 100%? What about the other 5%? What is that gap for? And then lastly, SASA, the allocation to the co-ops, is it direct to the co-ops? Is it through NGA? How does it go? And where are these co-ops, so that when we conduct oversight, we can actually visit them. Lastly, Chairperson, I'm happy that you say the cash pay points are a big risk in light of the haste that are there. And the faster we reduce them, the better for the population, because a lot of things are happening. There are inside jobs as well, you know. As you said, Honourable Minister, some of the bugs are sekai. And then lastly, you know, presentation, CFO of SASA, cash handling fees charged by who? By SASA, the cash handling fee. Whose charge is that? Thank you very much. Honourable Minister.
No, thank you very much, Chairperson. I just want to understand on first case, how do we determine that a child qualifies for first case? Because in some instances, when the mother has passed on, the father is in South trace, and it's not all mothers who are married, because some of the people are still having a challenge when they go back the grandmothers or whether to apply for foster care. And then the other, on the issue of social workers,
third one was raised by the minister, but I think, Minister, maybe the agreement between the select committee and the then minister will be taken into consideration, and then we see our qualified social workers getting in the system, because there is still there is still this outcry outside. Then on substance abuse conditional grant, I understand that. I want to understand whether the department is able to assist in terms of infrastructure, because when I attend to the department, how far are they in terms of opening that structure in Sishio? When I was told about issues of infrastructural challenges, I don't understand. Maybe you'll understand me. You'll make me understand in that regard. Then on the issue of vacant posts, I understand, yes, Honorable Zwane has asked, she has recommended that we fill this post. Then I want to understand, can you say that you are understanding, because when you make a projection that you have so many vacant funded posts filled, then at the end of the year, we find that you have not filled all the posts. Can you say that you are understanding or you are on par? Then again, we have a challenge, Minister. When we went for our oversight in Mpumalanga at Mbozeni, we got a calling that on the cross borders we have a challenge of people from the other side getting the grant in our country. Then what measures have you put in place to see to it that citizens of South Africa are the real beneficiaries at the end of the day? You go to Limpopo, there are many entry points where people from Mozambique, from Zimbabwe, they just cross like they wish, and they get the benefit. How what is the role that we're playing as a department to see to it that the real beneficiaries benefit out of it? On the issue of cash haze, yes, Minister, it's a problem. Then I want to understand, what is the role, or what is the arrangement that is made with SAPS to see to it that maybe our cars are being followed, are being monitored, because we cannot continue in this kind of a situation. On the issue of 5 kilometer radius, I understand, but let me make an example by where I come from. We have got a pay point, it's in Mecklenburg area. It's just across the road. We have a post office this side, then we have got a pay point. I understand that, because we are nearer to a post office. What about these other service providers, for example, like ShopRite? I'm occupied by that, because somewhere at Apasha is not far from Mecklenburg, but you've got a pay point at Mshat, which also is not 5 kilometers away from the mentioned service provider. How are we going to handle this kind of situation? Yes. We've got a pay point at Mshat, but we still have this service provider that I just mentioned. How are we going to handle this kind of situation? Thank you very much.
Honorable Mr.
Ngiyabonga. I think I have this of my my voice is not well. I've been having flu all weekend. Minister, firstly, welcome, and thank you for what you have said and the promises you have made to us. I truly have hope that we will see a difference in this department. I'm a bit comforted, because this department, we have seen a whole lot of things that are happening that are affecting our people very negatively. My most concern is the social work scholarships. I am a bit concerned with the issue, because there has been a very huge outcry. We have been receiving social work graduates who are very disgruntled with the fact that they have qualified, they are home, not studying, and others are even saying, but we can even volunteer our services in schools, because there's a whole need of our services in schools. where we can go there and work with the teachers and help with the social issues that teachers cannot help these kids with. Can't we be allowed to be part of this process? Because now some of them, they say, abanye basebenza kuma Shoprite Checkers. They just feel they are under not utilized at all. So is there a way that there could be a program, an internship program, volunteer program that could be started for these social workers, that whilst they're still waiting to be taken into employment by the department, because now they feel like they've been just thrown out and they're not used in any way. So Minister, I'm just pleading with you and your department, Uti, maybe we should look into that and see if we can utilize these young people. I am looking at still at the social workers, the employment social grant. It says here that for 2018-2019, 196,000 is budgeted for their salaries, right? I just need to know in terms of numbers exactly how many social work graduates who were part of this scholarship I employed. And how many do you have in your database that have qualified, that you know of, that are still unemployed? If I can just have those numbers, please. Secondly, going to the issue, yes, with the issue of CPS, I am happy that finally, and CPS, the issue will be done, and it makes a whole lot of us happy that finally by end of September it will be the end of CPS and all the stories of CPS. Mm-hmm. That gives hope as well, Uhuti, because I see, I just need to ask a very ignorant question in terms of cash handling fees, Uhuti, the with CPS going out, will this be able to reduce the handling fees that we are seeing of millions that you've just mentioned? So I need to find out if there would be a good impact on the budget with them leaving. In the issue of frauds and corruption within the department, there has been, Minister, I know what you might not have heard being part of this, but we have reported a number of fraud and corruption cases that people have come up to us with. We have written letters. I personally have written a lot of letters to the previous minister, which I still have not received responses to. So I would also request that I write those letters again and send them to you with the hope that something will happen this time. We have old age homes in townships where there is serious, serious neglect, where old people are going there without days without food. And I have the names of those old age homes. I can give them to you so that please, if it's possible, you can follow that up. We have homes of the mentally challenged, especially in the township I grew up in. I have visited those homes. It is sad what is going in there. I have written over and over letters to say, because there is funding, and the people who work in those homes are saying, we know the money comes in, but there is something going on between the managers and the officials of this department. The money, yeah. So,
can I disrupt?
Yes, sure.
Yeah. It's my plea that we. It's good that you are raising, but just raise it because it's not part of the APP. We focus
okay,
on the
fine.
Yeah.
That's fine. but it's a chance that we speak about these things, Chairperson. So if you don't mind,
I don't mind. All what you can do, maybe write them down, just give them to
nextly, the minister. Minister, with the issue of card swaps, I just need to find out the swapping of the cards. Does it apply to all beneficiaries, including those who are using banks, private banks? Because there seems to be some sort of confusion with the beneficiaries who think that it's only those who go to pay points who will do that. The appointing of 45 second-tier merchants, I assume it is the local businesses within townships. My concern here is the safety, because if can we guarantee the safety of both the beneficiaries who will be going there? Because we know our local shops, there are boys who stand there who will be able to, unlike when they go to pay points, that they have securities. How can we make sure that it is a good thing when they happen, it will be closer to Abantu Abadala, they'll get there easier, but can we guarantee their safety? Okay, and in the issue of AMA eligible social grant beneficiaries, I think I've asked that one. Okay, no, that's fine. Thank you, Minister, and I think with other questions, as I have been instructed, I will write and hopefully I will get responses this time. Thank you.
Yeah, you can come in, Honorable Sambas. Can you just switch off your mic first? Just to remind members, we have e-Department of Health already outside starting at 11:30. Let's take note of that as we raise our issues.
I just want to...
Thank you, Chair. And to say to the Minister my compliments on the new strategies and initiatives that you have introduced into the department. Maybe I just want to say to umuntu olikholwa inoba uThixo uyabona into ukuba mawuze nezi strategies ngoba imbi into ebisenzeka apha le department, especially with CPS. So we welcome the new strategies that you are going to introduce and wish you good luck. Honorable Minister, there is a strike. Sabasasa is the Koyo. Can you give us the progress on the strike? And what initiatives have you done to strike? Why were the calls of employees not heeded to when they were first introduced to you? And what is the progress? But yonke lento ndibuzayo. Kausinike the presentation yakwasasa bendizayichaphazela kancinci but kayichaphazelanga but I know uba kukho into eyenzekayo in terms of eso strike. Secondly, Minister, imikonzo achievements. Yeah, achievements is the mikonzo. We've heard a lot that the What has the department done in terms of Mikonzo, but I want to monitoring Mikonzo, has it done any difference into the communities or societies that we are dealing with? If you can just give us per province, uba yenze ntoni I progress. Dikendeva, nasa benfunda le presentation, Nena kuyekwa kachazelwa into ye EPW, I want to have an extent ba usebenza kakuteni apa kule department. Wenza ndo nina ikona na lapa kwi presentation. Thirdly, Minister, besikesaya ematatiela.
ndakhumbula kwenye isidizi siye sangena kuyo i-complain was that i-payment ayifiki ngethuba thathi inyanga ngenyanga into mabefike abantwana and to an extent abantwana bayafa ingxele likakhesekile indlala ndicela uqonde into yokuba how do you plan that challenge uba ifike time yasile ndivile into yokuba nigqule naligangatha ukuba makuthi ukufika uSeptember first week kaSeptember ibe into zepayment ne-post office zenzwe 2 weeks before ndivuyele loo nto kwenzela uba singaphaphami ubisi selichithekile. Malunga ne-grants mandiyithethe Chairperson malunga ne-grants into endiye ndiyibone and I know for a fact iyenzeka abanye abantu bafumana abantwana baye emangcwabeni ndike ndayithetha le nto past minister baye emangcwabeni bafike bathi ubani uSipho lo ulele apha ndizamenza utata omntana ndithi lo mntana wam ndimzeleyo ndithi utata wakhe nguye lona bayothatha i-date of birth ne-date of death babhalise bona i-social workers ndicela minister uhlobo lisebenza ngalo masiqinise ukunyusa ikawusi kwenzela into yokuba because yonke le grant yinto entle into okunika igrant but bayayikhorrapta ngokuya baye emangcwabeni bayojonga ii-numbers neentoni neentoni and then baye kwi-social workers sebesithi uSipho utata omntanam nobani bani nobani bani I know iyenzeka minister ndicela into yokuba i-social workers zisebenze ngakumbi anditsho bazisebenzi ngakumbi nangakumbi into yokuba into eyi-corruption enjalo mayinqandeke ingaqhubekeki u-honorable zana undikhavarishile kwinto ye-high insecurity nokuba mawuqinise amatyathanga akho ngoba ulwaphulo mthetho ngoku uyafuma uthe wena xa uthetha ntetha wathi iintwala zethu zityathina ndiyakunqinela because ikhona abantu ababandakanyekayo kwezi haisi zibakhoyo abasebenza kwalapha kuthi ndicela minister i-consultation ndiyavuya lele nto ka-CPS in terms of i-loans zamaxhekwazana notatomkhulu wethu ilungiswa ndicela into yokuba i-consultation ye-funeral plans nekuthengwa kwe-electricity bills nentoni mayibe khona because aba bantu banika isidima kwilizwe lethu into yokuba ba-abhuzwe athi umntu khange ndifune i-electricity ngubani uthenge i-electricity nge-150 nentoni nentoni ihamba nezi loans zenzekayo ezinye izinto minister sezithethiwe ngoxabam okokugqibela okay naye lale seyithethiwe okay ndiyabulela Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Minister, colleagues and the department. Thanks for the presentations. Let me also echo Honorable Minister the sentiments of my colleagues that whilst you have inherited a mess, but one thing that gives hope is your attitude. It's very encouraging because the problem we have experienced in the past is where there are shortcomings and where we also point to shortcomings, you get the political leadership defending the shortcomings. So really your words are encouraging. I'm not going to cut down a lot, Chairperson, because of the pressure of time. But this one, I feel I do have to ask this one to the department. In your plans to deal with incidents of social crime and substance abuse and so on and so forth, I didn't hear you say anything with this escalating challenge of abuse and criminal incidents to people living with albinism. Can you look at that, Honourable Minister, when you go to your breakaway? The conditional grants where you talk to ECD subsidy, can we get a breakdown per province on that one? I wouldn't mind getting this later, Chairperson, but this one that I'm asking if it can be responded to today. There have been reports, Honourable Minister, of tender splitting in December 2017 in your department before you came, where functions were arranged but the tender was split such that it was avoided to put it to open tender. What have you done about it? And the report suggests that one of those functions didn't take place but money was paid. Can I get to know if responsible people have been taken to task, because it's corruption. Corruption that happened just when you were just about to come in. SASA, of course, some of it will be comments, others will be questions. In your vision, I do want to comment on the vision, SASA. You say you want to be a leader in delivery of social security services. But who are you competing with? who is your competitor? The turnaround or the provision of human capital, which is a good thing, but you didn't say anything about how you achieve that if there is no turnaround strategy, because you are talking about the very same personnel. So I would like to know how you are going to change the attitude of the people so that you achieve the net objective. You say you are planning to improve your financial management by ensuring that there is a reconciliation. So what I'd like to know is, has this not been done in the past? Are you telling us that you will be starting to do reconciliations for the first time? If so, it's really very scary. You also, on slide 23, can I find out if there's going to be any dry run, Honourable Minister, to experiment if the issue of the post office is going to, what problems are going to be there? And I would also like to know, like Honourable Zwane was asking, what role will SAPS play in the whole scenario of things? Because really, people are going to lose jobs. People are going to lose jobs at CPS. And, you know, we need to also play the devil's advocate.
Can I just want to ask a question? A possibility of writing down your question?
I'm finishing.
Because I'm at...
This is the last one.
We've already passed 11:30.
Ah, this is the last one, Chair.
Okay.
The 515 million, you are going to be spending 5 million collecting debt. What I would like to know is, how much are you chasing using this 5 million? Is it more than 5 million that you are chasing?
Very, very, very sorry, all members, to do that, but I think we had to do it because it's our program that we have. We have key issues in these two documents, Minister. I'll give it to you as you respond. Let them be covered for both the department and SASA. And one thing from my side to take to your breakaway session is the NDA, the role of the NDA. Our take as a committee since we started had been that, since 2014, had been that most of the people who are having grants are people that we consider them poor. So
we think NDA can play a major role in trying to support these people and freeing some of the grant that we're giving those people. You can follow it clear that we have supported these people. This is where they are now, so they are out of the grant. A lot of money can be saved in terms of grants. As you go to your breakaway, take that with you. The Swartfontein issue in Mpumalanga. Swartfontein, it's a center for rehabilitation, which also accommodate other provinces. We are requesting that it be supported so that the renovations are concluded. They are doing a good job there. In the Eastern Cape, there was one ECD when we were taking Parliament to the people, which had more than 250 students, children, and they had no shelter. They were using, Carlos laughing that I'm saying they're students. In the Northern Cape, there is one center where children are staying. It was badly, badly, badly managed. I will remember the name. In fact, we'll send you the report of the oversight report so that you can follow up. The other issues, I will leave them, Honorable Minister. I'm requesting to members that we get responses in writing. Kaul, I heard that you are pleading. The department has been here for quite a while now. And also indicate that all members, some of the questions that we ask belongs to the reporting. That is a disadvantage, Minister, of having a plan before we get your report. Because some of the questions members are asking them, they belong to a reporting, but I know you will report, you respond on them. I'm also encouraged, as honorable members were saying, in Nati we were like the court, Minister, we did not know what to do with you. SASA in particular. Really. I will end there. If you can have one word to conclude, especially Mr. Kaula's a question, we have a department already waiting outside.
Thanks, Chairperson, and thanks to the members of the committee. I'm not going to respond to everything. I just want to say, Chairperson, if agreed, can we note the points you've raised? Because there are many things which you've raised. And commit that we are going to respond in writing to the questions which you have raised so that we give you tangibles and clear answers to some of the things and comments, because if we have to go through, I can answer some of the bulk of the things, but in Sadiskat, Chairperson, I'm from
Bukeliskat. Just one minister, I think there's one matter that you can respond on. The rest, we will request that you respond before we go to the House,
yeah,
which is in the 19th, we want to have the responses before the 19th so that we avoid a situation that issues that you could have been responded to the committee are now asked in a form of a debate in the House. So we'll appreciate that if you can just get responses before the 19th.
No, definitely, Chairperson. Masipuma Jela will be working on that before the 19th. All the Bakona going bears as well will have to respond to all the questions raised, so that by the time we go to the 19th, you don't ask the same questions, or it's either you make follow-ups. I just want to make that undertaking. We will do that, including some of the issues which will require your understanding when you go to various points. We'll try and give a lot of detail in making sure that the committee understands. But that does not mean, Mrs. Pendulile, that's enough. I would also like to say the offer I have made to say, really, when it comes to SASA, would like to brief you extensively on SASA, because even if we're, just to say, some of the things are a bit sensitive,
will not be able to put them in writing, but will prefer to just share. So I will say those are some of the things which I want to respond. The issue of social workers, we have an answer, but I don't want to get into that. But also where we are going, because it's not just about answers, it's also about sharing with you some of the programs, what has happened, and how do we want to take those processes forward, just to share with you the issue of social workers. Social workers are not about social development alone. Social workers about social workers in the country as a whole. One comrade mentioned the issue of schools. So we have various scopes which we need to do that. And social workers are not only those which are trained by the department. You go to universities today, there are young people who are going there and being trained outside of all of us. So we need a comprehensive plan to say, if we produce these social workers, where are they going? Because it's not only those who are given an opportunity by DSD. It's all those social workers out there to say, we need a country plan about social working. So I thought I would say that. And then we'll also be able, the ECDs in particular areas, maybe also, instead of focusing on what you've raised, give a much more broader plan to say, we have ECDs here, this is what they are doing. And the last point I want to touch on an ECD, we are working with the Department of Basic Education to look at some of the issues which we are dealing, we are raising, because we really want to make sure that we do the right thing. Lastly, issues of fraud, and tender splitting, we are addressing that. I think not long ago, there are issues which they've raised around that. But I must also say, as a minister responsible, we're going to go much more bigger, because there's a lot which has happened. We're going to go bigger if it means we must put forensic investigation in sorting out our problems. We will do that. But definitely, issue here, corruption cannot be tolerated. We've lost a lot, especially in SASSA. That's the route we will take. If it means abantu kumele baboshwe, bazoboshwa. But I'm just saying, we're committing ourselves to say everything has to come out clean. A lot of money has been lost in this process. Sibadi, simanqeba, Honorable Kaula. So kuzamele sizalane. So I'm just saying that thank you very much for allowing us, but we are available. We will answer everything which you have raised, and I'm saying not only spendule lewinikshoye, which you think might assist the committee. If I commit, we must do that by end of Friday. So at least by Friday, we must be able to have submitted our reply to the committee. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Minister. We will look at the matter of the date. We definitely do need a briefing. We'll look at the date. It will be communicated to the department. The department is released. Thank you so much.
I think it's the same. I don't know. I think it's the same. I don't know. I don't know.